Welcome to a fantastic word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, an associate pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We are so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
We are going to be beginning a new series, and we're going to be going through the book of Ruth. And I'm really excited about this, and I've been speaking with Joan, actually, about Ruth, and she had no idea that it was already on my mind. And so we're going to be going through the book of Ruth. It's going to be a five-week series, and this is a very powerful and a very beautiful book. It's like a ray of hope and a mist of a time of darkness and godlessness. And so real quick, before we get to the, today is going to be part one, and we're going to be setting the scene for the story in the actual book of Ruth. But before that, I just wanted to give a few points that I think will kind of help give us some perspective going into it. So first, the book of Ruth, it occurs during a time of the judges. Okay, so when you look in the Old Testament, you see that God provides leadership to his people. And he provides Moses, who leads them out of Egypt and on their way to the promised land. And after Moses dies, he provides Joshua. And Joshua leads them into the promised land and on a conquest in conquering and defeating the enemies that were living in the land that God had given to them. But once Joshua died, the Bible says that the people of Israel turned away from God, which again points us to why it's so important for us to invest into the next generation. Amen. You know, because there was a generation that rose up after Joshua that did not know the Lord, and generations after them that continue to live and to live without God. And and during that time, they, as they turned away from God, they would get in trouble, and they would cry out to God, and he would raise up judges. And judges were people that God would anoint and God would have his hand on to deliver Israel from the trouble that they were in. And of course, it was through certain spans of time. And it was during this time that the story of Ruth occurs. And so for those who like dates, this occurs somewhere around 1335 and 1050 BC is that time in which we see the book of Judges occur. Also, at the end of the book of Ruth, we see a genealogy of David, which gives us some perspective in that the person who wrote this was writing to people who knew who David was. So this most likely was during the reign of David whenever this was penned. Whenever they wrote this letter was during his reign. And so we don't really know who wrote the book of Ruth. Some believe it was Samuel, but Samuel had already passed. But no doubt it was somebody who, maybe a priest or an elder or somebody who knew the importance of this story. A few themes that we will see through the book of Ruth, and this is the last thing that we'll talk about before we get into the story, is or the setup, is number one, if we see God's sovereignty, his sovereignty in our lives, his sovereignty in the life of those in the book of Ruth. And we see that it's not that only that he's sovereign, but that he is close, that he's sovereign in our life. Secondly, we see God's goodness and his kindness. Not only is he sovereign, but he is involved in our life and he's bringing about good in our life. He cares about us and he wants to bring about good. And thirdly, we see a thread of redemption that we see throughout the entire Word of God, very prominent in the book of Ruth. And so we'll see all these and many others, but I wanted to highlight those three. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump into chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2 real quick. It says this: "In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his home and went to live in the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons with him. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. So we're introduced to a few people. We see four names: Elimelech, Naomi, and then their sons Mahlon and Chilion. Okay, so these names have meaning, and it's very interesting. I think that I honestly, personally believe that these names actually tell the story of the book of Ruth. So Elimelech, the father, his name means my God. God is my king. My God is king. Okay, Naomi, her name means pleasant and kind. Very beautiful. You know, their names speak of who God is. And actually who God is throughout the book of Ruth. That God is king, that he is sovereign, and that he is kind to his people. However, something happened between them and their children. Because their names are not as pleasant. Mahlon, his name means sick or sickly. And Chilion, his name means wasting away, suffering, or tiresome. I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, why in the world would they name their kids this? I mean, you know, there must have been some things going on for them to name their kids something so damning, you know? But what we'll see is that, again, when we read, it says that this was during the days of the judges, okay? These were very dark days that they were living in, okay? Judges 21:25 says that in the days of judges, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So that kind of gives us a picture of the days that they're growing up in. And no wonder why they named their kids there. I mean, to me, it actually says more about the parents than it does about the time. That they named their kids after what they were experiencing. Clearly, they were sick and tired. They were sick and tired of the situation that they were in. And they were living in a day in which everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Which is not unfamiliar from today. We too are living in a day in which people are doing what is right in their own eyes. And we too find ourselves tired of the same things pursuing after our children, after our families, wanting to take control of our minds and of our lives. And this is similar to what they found. And not only that, the Bible says that there was a famine in the land of Judah. A famine. And so, the Bible says that they left Judah and they went to Moab. I want you guys to take a look at this map here. So, this is, theologians believe that this is the track that they would have taken, most at least. And so, you see, they left from Bethlehem, traveled up all around the Dead Sea, and traveled to Moab. Okay, I'm a visual person, so for me, that helps me. So I imagine that might help somebody else. But what we see here is that this track is actually about 50 to 60 miles of a walk, which would take it could be a really long day of a walk, or it can be broken up into 2 days. Okay, so that's how they traveled. They traveled from Bethlehem to Moab. Okay, so let's talk about Moab for a second. Okay, because I believe that it plays a part in understanding the book of Ruth. Okay, Moab was the land in which the Moabites lived. The Moabites, they were descendants of Lot. Okay, we can read about Lot in Genesis. And Lot was the father of Moab. What we learn is that Moab was born out of an incestuous union with Lot and his oldest daughter. Okay? Pretty nasty. All right? And it produced a people who were very hostile and very twisted in their lifestyle. And they were very hostile specifically towards the Israelites. And we see them attacking the Israelites throughout the Old Testament. But they were also very wicked, a very wicked people. They not only did they worship pagan gods, but the most terrible one is that they worshiped a god in which they would have to sacrifice their babies on an altar in order to hear from this god. And they literally would put them on a searing altar, and they would play drums so loud that they can't hear their children screaming. Now, I hate to paint that picture in your mind, but it gives you an idea of how wicked these people were. And which is why God tells the Israelites that they are not to mingle with these people. They were not to do that, but instead, Elimelech, in the midst of the trouble that he was in, decides to still leave Bethlehem and go, of all places, to Moab. Now, just because something is listed in the Bible doesn't mean that it's saying that it was right. The people who heard this, the original audience, they would have known that traveling to Moab was not what God wanted them to do. But it is what happened. Now, I imagine that Elimelech, maybe he was probably trying to do what he thought was best for him and his family in the situation that he was in. Okay? But it says that he traveled. It didn't say that a group of people, it didn't say that people traveled to Moab, but he did. He traveled out of the land that God had promised for him and his family, and he traveled to Moab, where God said not to go. When times got tough, Elimelech stepped outside the will of God, and he went to the land of Moab. Which brings a question to us. When times get tough, what do we do? Where do we go? Do we trust God in the midst of our situation? Or do we go to the land of Moab, where they lean and we lean on doing what is right in our own eyes? Where do we go? What do we do? When times get difficult financially, when things get difficult in our marriage and with work, with in other areas, what do we do? Where do we go? Let me encourage us that we choose not to turn to Moab, that we don't go simply back to doing what is right in our own eyes, but instead that we trust God in the midst of our troubles. There were a group of people who stayed in Bethlehem, and they trusted God. And what we know about God is that he may not show up whenever we want him to, but he's never late. He always shows up on time. So they travel to Moab. And things don't get better. Things actually get worse. Let's read verses 3 through 5. It says, but Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other is Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Now, this is very tragic. They travel to Moab and in hopes of things getting better, but things don't get better, they get worse. Naomi loses her husband in Moab, and then she loses her two sons in Moab. And now she's stuck in Moab, surviving the loss of her husband and two sons. Now again, those who were reading, the original audience who is reading this, would know that Naomi, she was really stuck in a rut here. Because not only was she a widow, but she was a childless widow, which in that time was the lowest of the low as far as status goes. Because she had no one who could take care of her. So in her mind, she was at the lowest place that she could be in her life. And when you read through the book of Ruth, She imagined that God's hand was against her. She was imagining that God was punishing her. However, that is not the case, but that is what she saw. In fact, the situation that she found herself in, she found herself becoming bitter. She became bitter because of her situation. In fact, she actually became, she ended up identifying herself with the situation that she was going through. She told the people to no longer call her by her name, which meant pleasant and kindness, that God was kind, but instead to call her bitter. She had identified with her situation. But the fact was that God was not trying to punish Naomi for her past decisions, but instead, God was looking ahead to remedy the situation. She didn't see what God was doing, but he had already gone ahead of her. He had already begun to lay a foundation and begin to prepare a path and prepare a way for her to begin to find a new chapter and a new day in her life that was going to provide hope. You know, there may be times in our life that we may imagine that God's hand is against us, but that is not who God is. He does not punish us. That's not who he is. He doesn't punish us for our past mistakes. Instead, God, he provides us with grace for our future. That is who God is. And let us not be like Naomi, but instead, let us not allow the circumstances in our life define who we are. But instead, let us trust God's plan. And one thing that we see with Naomi that we can look in our life, that if things still look bad, then God is not finished. God had already started working. She just didn't know it. She didn't see it. And the beauty of this story is that it's even that the plan that God put together was greater than she could have ever imagined. It was in the midst of her troubles, but God wasn't finished. If things look bad in our life, let us remember that God is not finished. And then we get to verses 6 and 7, which is where we'll end today. It says, then she rose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. I find this so fascinating that in the midst of the darkest point in her life, God breaks through in the land of Moab and delivers her a message that God was visiting her people and that he had prepared a path and prepared a way for her to go back home to the land of promise. But what's interesting is that Naomi had lived in Moab for 10 years. And as I mentioned, her hometown in Bethlehem was only a day's walk. Well, it was a full day. She could probably, you know, she could break it up in 2 days. However, she stayed in Moab. Now, the reason that we see is that her sons married Moabite women. Therefore, a part of her life was still stuck in Moab. Although God was her sovereign king who was good to her, in which their names show who he was, there was a part of her life that was still doing what was right in her own eyes. Therefore, she stayed in Moab, which is always a good opportunity for us to stop and to ask ourselves, are there areas of our life that we are still doing what is right in our own eyes? Are there areas in our life that we are still trusting in our own understanding, leaning on our own strength rather than trusting God? You see, God lays out a path in order for us to return and to trust in him. But we have to turn and leave Moab, turn and leave that life of leaning on our own understanding and trusting in his promises, because that's where his leading always gets us. His leadership The Holy Spirit is always leading us back to his promise. So it's a question worth asking ourselves, and it's an opportunity for us to still trust in God. You see, because God, as the way maker, made a way for her to come back home. And all she had to do was start walking. And no matter what no matter where we're at in our life, if we ever find ourselves in a point where we are realize that we are trusting on our, leaning on our own understanding, it's a day. There's always a day for that we can make a decision to turn back and to trust in the Lord. And ultimately, God provides Naomi with a new beginning and a new chapter in her life. What started out as misery and tragedy, God had gone before her and began to change the narrative. She had no idea that God was about to change her entire life. And this is the beginning of the story of Ruth. And we'll pick back up next time we meet here for the first service. But before we do that, a few takeaways for us. Number one, when things get tough, let us trust in the Lord. When things get tough, when things get hard, it's an opportunity for us to trust in the Lord. Not for us to step outside the will of God, but to trust God in right where we are at. You know, even whenever times are tough, it doesn't mean that we're not in God's will. But it does mean that God is working. God is taking our situation and he is molding it and making it and reshaping the details of our life to make it better. Part one of this I titled Bitter to Better, because God was taking a bitter Naomi and making her life better, but she didn't realize it. When things are tough, we can assume that God is working on our behalf, because that is exactly what he is doing. Amen. Secondly, if things are still bad, then God is not finished. Even as we are going through the situation that we are finding ourselves in, if it's tough, God is working. We can trust in the Lord. And if it still hasn't got better, we can trust that he's not finished. He's not done. He is still moving. He is still working. He is still going ahead, and he is still preparing a way for us. We can trust in him. And thirdly, one decision can change the trajectory of our life. That's what we see in Naomi's life. I just imagine how many times she wanted to go back home. However, she felt stuck, I imagine. But one decision changed the trajectory of her life. No doubt God had been wanting her to return home all those 10 years. But the day that she decided to take a step is when everything changed in her life. And it began a new chapter in her life. Similarly, one decision can change the trajectory of our life as well. The question is, what is that decision for you? What has God been speaking to you about? That decision can change a trajectory in that area of our life. Many times God is speaking to us and we wrestle with that word that God is speaking to us. But what we see here and what we will see is that we can trust the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. When God is needing for us to take a step of faith, when he's needing for us to trust him, when he's needing for us to not lean on our own understanding and not pay attention to what we see in front of us, but instead to trust him and that he knows what is best in our life, that he's going to bring us good, that he is going to change our life for the better, and that he's going to change the trajectory of our life and begin a new chapter. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that today, Father, is a new day in our life, God. Your word tells us, Father, God, that your mercies renew every morning. God, I thank you that today is a new day. And God, I thank you that is an opportunity, God, for us, God, to choose to follow you, to choose to trust in you. Father, I pray, God, that as we leave here today, God, that we leave here trusting in you despite our circumstances, knowing, God, that you are not finished, that you are still working in our life, and God, that you are preparing a way, God, for a new future and a new chapter in our life. God, we give you the glory for it, and today we trust in you. If you believe that and receive that, say amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit COTR.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.